It is 5 minutes after 11 o'clock, and this is the third hour of Power Talk. And I really want us to settle in for this conversation. I think it is, obviously as equally as important as some of the other subject matter we've been talking about over the last 2 hours. But if you are in the mining sector and you were not able to attend the mining in Durban, no doubt you've been following with great interest what has been emerging from the conference itself. A lot of participants from some of the biggest mining houses in the world who are investing in mining operations on the continent were there. Investors, role players, activists, everyone gathered there, and it was a really important discussion. But I think for those of you who are thinking about mining as a prospect, you want to go into it. We also going to talk in this next segment about the opportunities that are available for emerging miners in South Africa. And we want to take in the next hour an in-depth understanding of South Africa's emerging companies and what the entrepreneurial landscape is looking like. So if you're playing in the space, please do join me and have your say on 0861 987 000. Who do I have with me? Grant Mitchell, who's in Cape Town currently at the Indaba. He heads up the Junior and Emerging Miners Desk at the Minerals Council. Errol Smart is joining me from the Northern Cape, and he's the CEO of Orion Metals and chair of the Junior and Emerging Miners Leadership Forum of the Minerals Council. To both of my guests, thank you very much for your time. Really do appreciate you. We're hoping to bring up Phemi Khomongwe, who is the Youth in Mining Foundation CEO, and I think that's going to be an important aspect of the conversation we bring in. But maybe to begin with you, Grant, and you were at the Indaba. I was there as well. And we heard the Mineral Resources Minister, Gwede Mantashe, talk about the Council for Geological Sciences and how they're mapping where the next opportunities in South Africa are. And maybe just share with us from your perspective where some of these opportunities currently exist in South Africa. And good morning.
Well, thanks very much for having me on the show, first of all. Mining, I think it's a truism to say it's a pretty tough industry to get into, but there are opportunities. And I run the Junior Emerging Mining Desk, which represents 26 junior companies. We define junior companies as having a market cap up to 500 million. So these are not small scale diggers. These are substantial companies. Mm. I think where did we start at the beginning? I mean, it really depends where you are in terms of your knowledge of the mining industry. I run a help desk, and I get questions which range from people who've got very little or no experience through to people who are experienced, but qualifications, you've worked in mining companies and trying to start projects. So I think it's really a question in terms of the opportunities, it's where you sit on that scale. I think for people who've got experience and worked in the industry, the opportunities are much greater. There obviously are challenges around it, and one of the big challenges that we face is financing these projects.
I can imagine.
You know, the financial situation, in order to, a lot of it's risk capital, and it's very, very difficult to access. So that is one of the biggest challenges that faces. But having said that, there are opportunities. There's opportunities in the coal sector. There's opportunities in the diamond sector. And we cover all the commodity bases. So, yes, it's both opportunities, but one needs to go in with one's eyes open.
It is 9 after 11. Let me just share with my listeners the work of the Minerals Council. It is an institution that engages with government and some of the other stakeholders in really lobbying government on behalf of its members on all matters relating to transformation. The Minerals Council is committed, it says, towards supporting the aims of the Mineral and Petroleum Resources Development Act, the MPRDA, and its associated mining charter. Errol Smart, let me bring you in here. And Grant's been just sharing with us just a kind of topographical view of a junior mining landscape, explaining what junior mining is. I didn't know it was up to, that substantial threshold of around 500 million rand. That's quite significant. From your perspective, how robust, how interactive is your space?
Man, thanks a lot also for having me on the show. Look, the space is very active at the moment, and I think it's very important that participants that want to come into the space have to go in with their eyes wide open. You know, it's a very, very tough game. Not everybody gets rich from mining. More people probably lose money in mining than make money in mining. The junior mining industry in South Africa turned over 54 billion rand last year. but it lost 55 billion, or there's a cost of 55 billion rand. So that actually there was a net loss. So that shows you the kind of money that goes around that can be very successful, but everybody must go in with their eyes wide open. It is extremely hard work. Expect to be away from your family most of the time. Expect to sleep next to your machines and your drills and live it and breathe it, and be very aware that you're going to have to bring in partners, both financial partners and technical expertise, if you're ever going to make a success of it. Having said that, there are a lot of opportunities, and you know, one of the things that I see for junior miners, which is a lower technical threshold possibly, is in your industrial minerals, things like, you know, sand for construction purposes, stone aggregate, those kind of things, I think, offer some very interesting space that are less likely to have technical challenges, and it provides an easy access point into the industry so people can learn and find their feet, and then they can start building a success record, and then they can access capital to do this.
This is quite interesting. Can I ask you to just expand a little more on that, Errol? Because so the junior mining space is vast, and it's beyond just kind of going in after, you know, minerals or gems or whatever is under the ground, right? You're saying there's a constellation of opportunities around that which might make a more sensible foray into mining as a beginning, you know, as a starting point.
Yeah, look, my personal view on it is the exploration sector, prospecting, is a completely different industry to mining as such. So a lot of people want to get into mining quickly because they want revenue. Around the world, particularly in the very successful exploration destinations in the world, Canada, Australia in particular, there are thousands of companies that their sole purpose is actually to do exploration and discover the minerals and then sell that discovery to a larger mining house. And that's for an equity return. So you actually never mine it and bank the profits from your operation. So your expertise then is in geology and discovery. And that's where I see there's going to be a complete new dawn in South Africa for mining. But there's also the small-scale mining and emerging mining. You know, a lot of people never want to have a big mine. There are people that just want a family business where you've got mom and pop and the kids, and they operate a small little operation, and that's sustainable, and they make some money out of it. And that's particularly true for the diamond miners and some of these small coal operators. But then you have your true junior emerging miners. Those are the people that have an expectation of growth. And although Grant said that we've got a lot of companies, we also have two groups. You know, we represent the small-scale diamond producers of South Africa, and there are hundreds of members operating in that. So we actually represent a lot bigger constituency. And those people are very important contributors to that big turnover. Those big numbers that we spoke about earlier, that's where those numbers come from. To finally get to a point to build a larger operation like our company is busy doing now. You know, the minister was very proud when he announced the seed capital for this mining fund, and there was mooted numbers of 200 million rand. Now, that sounds like a huge number to many of your listeners probably. But they'd be shocked to find that a company like ours spent 300 million rand last year on discovering an ore body before we even build it. Wow. We need to spend 3 billion rand next year to build the mine. It is enormous numbers, but that we operate on the larger end of the junior scale.
This sounds, you know, so the setup for the discussion was, wow, you know, there's this whole other world out there. And if you're interested in getting in, here's what you need to know. But it sounds prohibitive if I distill what the pair of you are saying together. Here's the thing, though, Grant Mitchell. I was listening to Gwede Mantashe, and he was talking about prospecting and, you know, doing some of that exploration work already as part of the geosciences council, right? And And when they, you know, when companies express an interest, when they start to put their money in, they would also cover the cost for some of that pre-work that the government, from the government's perspective, would already be done. How much does that serve to help and aid the cause of someone who is going in? Because, you know, to find out whether something's viable or not, that answer would have been, you know, that question would have been answered already.
Yeah, look, that's a very good question. In fact, I was in a meeting this morning with one of the big state institutions, and they're looking at exactly that, at setting up an exploration fund. And it's been recognized that the weakness in our mining chain is that we've got large mine. Where historically, this country is built on large-scale, deep-level rock mining, hard rock mining. And this junior exploration sector is something that's new to us. As Errol's pointed out, it's very sophisticated in Canada and Australia. I mean, in Canada, there's more than 1,000 listed companies, juniors on the Toronto Stock Exchange. In Australia, it's about 700. I mean, I don't know. I can't say how active they all are, but it's a huge number. In South Africa, we have about 10. So the junior exploration side is absolutely critical if we're going to take this industry forward. And we need to put certain things in place to achieve that, and we need a fund desperately, and that's something that the government and the Minerals Council is looking at very seriously, is to set up a fund, because it's high risk, and you know the conventional banks will not touch anything like that. You need a specialist fund. The other side of the equation is that, again, I'm quoting Australia and Canada, is that the government has actively promoted exploration through tax incentives, example being the flow-through share model. And this allows tax offsets. And again, that's led to exploration companies in Australia and Canada being very successful, not only there, but around the world. And as again, as Errol pointed out, you know, it's the explorer goes out, finds a deposit, and then either sells it on or else enters a JV with a bigger producer. So generally, they specialize in that early stage development. And that's a culture that we've really got to develop in South Africa. But certainly, from the government side, the DMR, there's a much greater awareness of it. And from the Minerals Council side, a much greater awareness of it.
So, Errol, just to touch on some of the challenges then. So if I'm, you know, if I'm, because I mean, what you pointed out is, you know, that it costs a lot of money to go this route, and you're going to sustain, you know, maybe some losses, barely break even before you can turn around a profit. How do you then encourage people, especially black players, to start to begin to, you know, turn up and participate in their numbers, given that it is so prohibitively expensive?
No, not every element that has to be that prohibitively expensive. You know, for a prospective operator, for instance, to go take a prospecting, a mining permit, that's it's a subclass of mining rights that's available in our mining law. It's for a small block of ground with much lower hurdle rates and regulatory requirements that need to be fulfilled. You know, so somebody, for instance, that sees a construction sand deposit and sees the opportunity, he could go to the Minerals Council, or he could go to the Council for Geoscience and he can get information about it. He could go pick a prospecting right, and with, you know, a couple of trucks and a digger, he can start producing something and selling it to people. So that is a low entry level, and they can make good money out of it. There's a lot of people that make very good money out of that. So that's one of the easy access spaces. But I think the most important thing, that prospective entrants, and particularly the black entrants, they must play to their strengths. You know, you've got to build up your skills base. People like myself have been doing this for 30 years, and believe me, we've lost a lot of skin trying to figure it out and get it right. You've got to go through the learning curve, and you've got to pay your school fees before you ever gain to get it right. It's not instant success. But when it's successful, it is extremely rewarding.
Grant Mitchell, I imagine you concur with that sort of experiential perspective.
Yeah, I do very much. You know, just to sort of go back to your definition, you know, I think what this conversation is showing is that we've got a very wide spectrum, which we call junior or small-scale mining. It ranges from those permit holders, and I mean, we have diamond members of our organization, like small diamond operations. It's a owner, manager, and a foreman, and maybe 25 people working on a site, and quite low technology, and you know, that is a point of entrance. And okay, you mentioned particularly of black people into the space. I mean, we've got a number of in our desk, we have a number of 100% BE companies. But quite a lot of them, certainly the successful ones, are people who've been through the industry. You know, they're mining engineers, they work for big companies, they've got experience, they understand the financial models, and they're successful. But the other entry point is at that very low level, which was referred to. And, you know, the junior and emerging mining desk, we try and provide what support we can. We've got a group of retired executives who we can call on. They act as mentors. So if one of our guys comes in and says, look, you know, I'm really struggling with a business plan, or on the technology side, you know, we can call in somebody who's been a CEO of a big company, and we can offer that service for nothing. So that's one of our offerings, is to try and support the bottom, well, I call it the sort of lower end of the market, and particularly a strong focus on BE, because, you know, it's very, very important that we develop that. So, yeah, those are my comments on it.
If you are interested in small-scale mining or entering the junior mining space, and as you know, as my guests are explaining, it has quite a broad meaning. So there are lots of addended industries to, or adjacent industries to, mining itself, exploration, some of the mid-tier producers, and there are in South Africa those who are working in industrial minerals, diamonds, platinum, coal, manganese, iron ore, chrome, and a number of other base metals. I think what I will do as we continue with our discussion with both Errol and with Grant is maybe just share some of the experiences and their words of wisdom insofar as how the industry has changed and what is capacitating a greater entry and survival of the emerging miners in South Africa today. But I'm taking your calls as well on 0861 987 000. If this is a space you're dying to get into, let me know what your thoughts are, and you can ask your questions directly to Errol Smart, who is the CEO of Orion Metals Minerals and the chair of the Junior and Emerging Miners Leadership Forum of the Minerals Council. Grant Mitchell is on the line to us from the Indaba in Cape Town, and Grant heads up the Junior and Emerging Miners Desk at the Minerals Council. Mpho is in Tswane. Good morning.
Morning, Iman. How are you?
Good, and you?
Good, good. I just want to pose a question to your guest there regarding how does one access this opportunity in the mining industry. I'm saying this because I've never seen or heard someone saying that selling shares or a mine somewhere else. So how does one go in order to get this opportunity in the mining industry?
So what's the first step, effectively? Errol?
There's two routes in. You know, you either can approach somebody that already holds a prospecting or a mining right or a mining permit, and approaches them with a joint venture proposal or some kind of earning or investment proposal. Or you need to partner yourself with a geologist that can assist you, and they go to the Department of Minerals and they peg you your own right. And you can own 100% of that right from day one when you found an opportunity that maybe somebody else hasn't spotted. And that is something that the Minerals Council is absolutely adamant on. We do not support any illegal mining or the zama-zama in this world. We want to see that it's formalized, responsible, small-scale mining. You know, what's so sad is because there's so many people driven by the economic reality in this country that people will go out and dig on old mine workings and get a little bit of gold because there's always somebody that will buy it illegally. And, you know, yeah, in the Northern Cape, I see a very, very concerning development that's happening. You know, the Northern Cape had a very bad reputation many years ago because it was a big asbestos producer, and asbestosis basically killed thousands of people in the Northern Cape. Mm. Those asbestos mines got shut down because of environmental hazards. Unfortunately, in amongst the asbestos is a very interesting rock called Tiger's Eye, and it's actually a semi-precious stone.
Mm-hmm. It looks amber. I mean, it's got that amber look. I know what the Tiger's Eye looks like. Am I right? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very pretty stone, and all of a sudden the Chinese market has woken up to this, and it's become a very attractive stone from the Chinese market. So all of a sudden you've got all these guys running off into the hills in the Northern Cape and digging up the asbestos seams to try and get Tiger's Eye, which they sell in a 20-kilogram bag, goes for, a couple of $100s. So it's a lot of money. But they're going to kill themselves. And that's what we've got to guard against in this country, is uncontrolled and ill-advised small-scale mining. So my advice is very much go for the things that have got low environmental impact, are going to be sustainable. Don't try go dig up a riverbed because it's got some gold or some diamonds in it. Look for the opportunity where you can actually make an entrance and become a positive contributor. Even though you're a junior miner and you are, in terms of prospecting rights, you are free of mineral charter obligations. And in fact, if you're a small-scale junior miner, you are actually free of, or you have a certain exemptions from the mineral charter obligations. But you always have the moral obligation. And it doesn't matter who you are in this business, everybody has to contribute to a positive outcome for all stakeholders, including the communities where they operate. So even if you're a small-scale operator, you might not have an obligation other than a moral obligation, and you've got to act responsibly. But I really think that there are opportunities, and there's a lot of smart black guys that I see every day, and ladies. I see fantastic black female geologists, youngsters coming through the systems, and they know where minerals are to be found. They need to be partnered up with people that have a little bit of money or have some machinery, for instance, and go look for the opportunities where you can start accessing those things.
But do we have a platform and a forum, Grant Mitchell, to make that partnering possible? Because here's what I'm thinking out of what Errol is saying. Even the point about, go with an investment proposal, go with a geologist, get the 100% rights and so on. I mean, that all costs money, right? Mm-hmm. And Errol was saying, you've got to earn your school fees, so you need to have that experience because it really helps you later on to know how the operation works from start to finish. But a lot of those who want to access the market now haven't had the opportunity to even gain those. So, how do we deal with our specific problem in South Africa today?
Well, it's a good question. I, as I said, I run a help desk, and I get, like your caller is quite typical of the calls that I get. And as I said, there's a spectrum of people who've got virtually no experience but are interested, through to people who've got experience and qualifications and have gone down the road with a business plan, etc. For the very new entrants, we do have some support mechanisms in South Africa. And what I normally do is there's a few state institutions that may be able to help. One is Mintec. Mintec's got a small-scale mining division. And if somebody is brand new, they can go there, or brand new to the industry, they can actually go there and they run courses and they can get a bit of advice. In terms of qualifications, the mining qualification runs courses on mining, on sort of introduction to mining, etc. So that's another way in. So if you don't have the resources to go and study at a university, you can start picking up knowledge. So I think that coupled with maybe finding a very simple operation, as we've talked about, coupled with developing your skills through doing courses, I think that would be the way to enter.
So maybe as a final word, Errol, because I'm going to end the conversation here. I think we've got enough of at least, some of the GPS coordinates. If you're thinking about making the foray, you're alive to what the risks are. You're alive to what the responsibilities and requirements are. As a starting point for information, I mean, as Grant was saying, can they go to the Minerals Council? Can they come to you guys and say, OK, I'm keen, guide me? Errol?
Yes, look, Grant does a great job of that, in his role at that desk, he gives a lot of people free advice. It isn't our primary responsibility to help people access it, but we are doing it because we just feel it's an obligation that we've got to do. We are there to support our members. We've got 220 people that are members that have joined, and we support them. But Grant does hand out a lot of good advice, and he can at least point people to the right places and give them contact numbers and websites where they can reach that support.
All right. And that is the Junior and Emerging Miners Desk at the Minerals Council then. Thank you to both of you. Really do appreciate your time. Errol Smart in the Northern Cape and Grant Mitchell down in Cape Town at the Indaba. It brings us to exactly 11:30 and it's time for Power News headlines and traffic.